next pitch. And a swing and a line drive toward the gap left center base, hit by Newman. This one's heading toward the wall. Peraza cuts it off on the warning track. Cervelli touches third. He's on his way home. Iglesias' relay is late. And the belly flop slide. Kevin Newman drives home Cervelli. And the rookie gets it done for the Buccos. 6-5. They win it in 10 innings today. Hello, Newman.
And that is easily our highlight of the game, brought to you by High Tech Auto Care. Here on the Shendarovich and Shendarovich and Fishman post-game show, Craig Riley, Jack Zarensic going to join us here in a few minutes, but Bob Walk joins us in the booth right now as we break down an incredible finish to today's game. Bob and I were just talking about what happens if Cervelli doesn't score there, they go to the extra innings, but who cares? Because Kevin Newman finished it anyways, and all that's a moot point. What a finish to that game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see the young guy Newman come up and get the big hit and have his uniform ripped off of him and all that. I mean, I said there at the end that, you know, you feel bad. Like, say, you know, the eighth inning, you gave up that one run, you know, the solo home run. Now you got to go to extra innings and, you might lose the game. And all those kind of things start, creeping into your mind. But it also sets you up for a hero scenario, and you love when you're at home in front of the crowd, that getting everybody excited to have this type of a win. So it was all for the best, and like I said, the fact that Newman got it, I think, makes it even a little sweeter. You like to see the young guys able to have something happen like that early in their career, so they know what it's like at this level when you're the hero and everybody's jumping around. Maybe next time they're up there, maybe the heart beats a little slower. And the more times they can be put in these kind of situations, the better.
And we've talked before about the confidence Hurdle has in his guys. And then to get rewarded by a guy like Newman getting his chances to start and goes 2-for-4 with a walk and a walk-off, what's it like from the player's perspective? You always like to get the confidence from the manager, but to repay that and give it back to them to come up for your team.
I think Newman he has something to prove, I believe. Last year when he came up in September, he really didn't play all that well, didn't hit all that well. So he's put on some weight, gotten stronger in the off season, and to me looks like a different player physically and probably mentally a little bit better also, thinking that, I can do this. And after today, he's got a little more confidence now, and I think that's what you need to have happen with the younger guys. When they do get into these positions, have them come through, know what it feels like. And he wants to prove to everybody that, he's a big league player. And not just a big league bench player either. I'm sure that, down the line, I mean, he's a first-round draft pick. He wants to have a starting job in this league. And so that's what I think personally would be on his mind. Now, I'm sure when the game's going on, he's not thinking about any of that stuff. He's thinking about, what he has to do out there as far as being the right place for, relay throws and making plays, and what's he trying to do with the plate, what kind of situational hitting thing is going on. And in that scenario right there, he was probably looking for something that he could drive to the outfield. Doesn't want to, hit a ground ball at somebody. So got a pitch, obviously, he felt like he could handle and drive it, and did just that.
And it was the first pitch that he swung at there. Do you think that was the plan, go up and be aggressive, or just sort of take what you can get? Being a young guy, does that come into your mind at all?
I think that if he got any kind of advice going up there, it was look for something you can drive to the outfield. And it doesn't matter if it's first pitch or the eighth pitch. That first pitch might be the only one you see that you can get out to the outfield, that you can really get the head of the bat too and drive it somewhere. So you don't want to just pass that up just so you're not swinging at the first pitch. Now, if he would have swung at a first pitch down and away at the knees, rolled over and hit a ground ball to shortstop, well, that's not good. So good. I mean, that to me is the difference. If you're going to hit the first pitch, as long as it's something that you can handle and do something with, yeah, go for it.
Well, one other thing I'll say is we saw it in their outfield today. It is really nice to not see Billy Hamilton in center field for this team. Because I feel like there were a couple of times there's balls he probably gets to that changes the dynamic of this game. So,
well, early in the game, that first ball that was hit out there by Bell into right center, that's probably one that with better outfielders out there, you're gonna catch. Mm-hmm. And Billy Hamilton, obviously, you know, he goes from side to side as well as anybody. So you're right that there is a difference out there. But, yeah, I mean, you have, you know, two older players out there on the wings in Kemp and Puig, although Puig, he made a couple of outstanding
plays
out there
on
defense. The one coming in that he dove for, I mean, just flat out got his glove underneath the ball right at the edge of the right, just as it was about to hit the grass. And then there was another one that was slicing away from him down in the corner. He went over and made a fine catch. So, you know, after I thought that, you know, maybe he's not, you know, up to it out there after watching that first play in the first inning, definitely proved me wrong. And by going out and playing some really good defense on a couple other balls that I didn't think he was going to be able to get to.
Well, we say they're not all easy, right? And this one, certainly, they had to work out for them, but they hung in there, and they came back, and what a nice win for this ball club.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. We were talking a while ago about you hate to give up a lead like that, and, you know, now you're going into extra innings, tie game, you might lose, but as I mentioned before, it puts you in a position now to where you can have a hero, and a young guy comes up and he's the hero, and that's fantastic for Newman to be able to experience that.
It's going to be interesting to watch how this Cincinnati bullpen goes throughout the year. You know, here's Iglesias, I guess, was their closer, and now he's gone into the third inning of a relief appearance. You know, we saw in Cincinnati last week where guys were coming in different roles. So it'll be very interesting to see how they hold up and what kind of success they have as the year goes on.
Well, I've seen relievers, Cincinnati bullpen, come out and play center field.
Exactly. That's right.
So don't see that all the time.
No.
Well, one other thing I want to ask you about, Bob, is just what you saw from Trevor Williams today. Not what we saw the first time out, but still fought his way to get through six innings.
He pitched fine. He's not Superman, even though he pitches like Superman most of the time. This was not a bad game for him by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the inning where they got the three spot out there in the third, that started. The inning started with an error. Mm-hmm. So now something that wasn't in your control gets created, and you got to try and deal with that. If that's just a ground ball to third, guy's out, now one out, nobody on base, does he even give up three runs? You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I certainly don't think he pitched a below-average ball game or something. I mean, he looked normal out there. And everybody's going to look like that at certain times. You can't hold him to, you know, this ridiculous high standard.
We've been spoiled lately.
He's going to go out and throw six innings of shutout ball every 5 days. You can lock it in. I mean, that's just that's unrealistic.
You know, it's nice, too. You got a lot of contributions from the backup guys. You know,
sure.
They get a chance to play tonight, so you get Reyes come in, get a hit. Stallings did a nice job.
That's all right. But I just thought about when you said that, that's also great. But one of the most important things, I think, was how about the way Bell swung the bat?
Yes.
I mean, that's very meaningful. You get him locked in that cleanup spot.
So I said to him before the game that I'm going to let him have my pick to click.
Yep.
And he said, I'm giving you Melky Cabrera. And I said, well, I was going to take Josh Bell. But anyhow, I just had a feeling he was going to kind of bounce out. You know, and the thing about Josh Bell, this is how I see him. He's more of a slasher type guy who hits the ball hard. And, you know, as opposed to this guy like the first year when he hit 26 home runs. But he hits the baseball hard when he hits it. And to me, I like what you let him go. Let him do his thing. And eventually he's going to lift some of those balls.
Well, I know this. If you're going to pitch him away, he's going to hurt you. And they throw him away a couple of times a day, and he hit two rockets. The home run, obviously, 400 and I don't know, what was it, 30, 40 feet, something like that. And that line drive, the one hopper into that he bounced over the wall out there in the 410 notch, I mean, that was a rocket. But both those pitches was about mid-thigh on the outside corner When he gets locked in, he's thinking left center. That's kind of his sweet spot. And they're going away from him, and I think they learned their lesson this afternoon.
He's one of those guys, too, we've talked about early in the year, sort of a question mark. The way he goes is a lot of the way this lineup will go. And it's a product of being early in the season that there was concern about him, it felt like, already, that we were hearing in post-game shows. You see it on social media, which, take that for what it's worth. But all of a sudden, he's hitting .269, has a home run, and already drew in 6 runs this year. You project those numbers, the 6 RBIs, over the course of a season, I think he would take a .269 average with that. So it's nice to see that power, I think, come into play from him today as well, getting the home run. He has to feel good about that.
Yeah, that's why, of all the things that happened today, that might be the best for me, was to see him just really, rip the heck out of that baseball. I mean, that was nice. It wasn't like, he got 3 hits, just, flaring it out for singles. He hit the ball hard this afternoon. That ball to center field was, that's the monster shots that he's capable of delivering.
Well, I'll ask you one more question and I'll let you go, Bob. The bullpen that we saw today, you talked about Trevor Williams, still a pretty decent start. Kella gives up the home run and then settles back down. You sort of feel the same way about him, just one at bat that could have gone either way,
yeah,
but he settles
in. The bullpen's been a little funny. I don't know if it's funny. I guess it's not funny, but use the wrong word there. But it's been inconsistent here at the start of the season. And each guy that's come out has – had an outing that really wasn't like we got used to seeing all the time last year. And now with Crick, he's got some problem with the tricep, and he's going to be out for a little while. We'll just have to wait and see how things kind of, work themselves out in the bullpen. Bullpens always do that. They work themselves out. As long as you got one or two, good guys at the back end, and they certainly have that, and Kellen Vasquez. The other stuff, we'll see how it all ends up. But bullpens can be put together. Not that I think ours needs to be put together. I think it's going to be just as good as it was last year. Maybe the totem pole, who pitches the 7th and 6th and all that stuff, they might move around a little bit here and there. But I think it'll be a solid bullpen and really be something that helps this team out. I'm liking the way Bernie's has been pitching. I know his stats. Always got to be wrong. But I'm just talking about the way he throws the ball. He's got a power fastball, great little hard, tight slider. Threw great in spring training. I'm interested to see where he fits in this whole thing. He could be a very good big league pitcher. He's got great stuff.
He's a wild card because I don't think you expected a ton from him. And while you expected a lot from the other guys.
Nobody knew it was even going to make the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's going to do. I know that Santana role was very important for this club last year. Who's going to be that guy this year? Is it going to be Birdie? Maybe.
You see Richard Rodriguez figured out today a little bit more, too.
Yeah, so he looked good out there. He looked – they're good. He's the exact guy I'm talking about.
Yep. So
the bullpen has been – kind of funny. You don't know exactly what's going to happen out there right away. But Rodriguez, who has had some problems here early on, today he looked like the guy that we saw almost every time coming out there last year. Looked fantastic. So keep our fingers crossed and everything's going to be fine. Nice little road trip coming up. Probably a little bit of a tester. We'll see how it works out.
So far so good though. 4-3. We'll take it.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it and coming over after the game and chatting with us a little bit about another win.
No problem, guys. I'm on TV tomorrow, but I'll talk to you, I don't know, maybe Monday. I don't look that far ahead.
We'll figure it out. You're day-to-day.
Day-to-day. I'm always day-to-day, yes.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Well, we go from Bob Walk to the hero of today's game, Jack. We've got Kevin Newman on the line. Kevin, congratulations on a great game. Take us through that final at bat and what it felt like to get the walk off.
Hey guys, that last at bat there, I was just looking for a good pitch to hit. He gave it to me first pitch, and I took a rip at it, and thankfully it split the gap, and Cervelli was able to come around and score.
I want to ask you a question here, Kevin. I know that you're on a post-game show, being a hero of the ball game today. You played a nice game defensively. Obviously, you were excited, and everyone else is, and we're pulling for you. But I want to ask you about the Phoenix Open, because I heard you talking about you went to that thing. Tell me what that's like.
Oh, man, that's a lot of fun. You go out there, and you go with a whole bunch of your friends, and it's basically like a big party while some guys are playing golf.
Were they screaming and yelling at the Phoenix Open like they were screaming and yelling for you today after that double?
Not as loud, but pretty close. Pretty close.
Well, what's it like having that walk-off at home, too, where you hear the crowd? I mean, you're establishing yourself as the major leaguer now, and you get that moment. What's it like just to sort of take that in early in your major league career?
It's an amazing opportunity to be in that situation and to come through for the team, to come through for the fans. Just to kind of hear their excitement and hear their roar after Cervelli slid in there. It's just an amazing feeling, and I'm honored to be a part of this team and this organization and this city.
You know, Kevin, we talked about this a little bit last year. We talk about it now, where when you came up last September, and I know you probably were getting we all know you're getting your feet wet as a big league player. It was a little bit challenging for you. I know you weren't at the top of your game like you would have liked to be. But I watch you this year. You look so much more relaxed, so much more confident, both at the plate and in the field. Talk about what that's like to come back after you've had a little bit of big league time under your belt.
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. This year's been way different than just the entire just being relaxed out there and coming to work every day and, kind of trusting my ability. I know struggled that first stint up in the big leagues last year, but worked hard in the off season and just came back. And now, the nerves are gone, and just going out there every day and just playing.
Well, Kevin, we heard Clint Hurdle talk before the game about it taking a complete team effort to win. So he has the confidence then to get you out there and play you at second base. What does it mean to return that confidence to him and to your teammates in that fashion?
It means the world. That's the greatest feeling that you can get is coming through for your teammates. Your guys in the locker room, they're your brothers. You're with them all day, every day, and to come through for them in that situation, it's an amazing feeling. I can't even describe it.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. We don't want to keep you too long and let you get back to probably celebrating today's
walk. I do have one more question.
Go ahead.
Kevin, do you have a Yunzer shirt?
Sorry?
Do you have a Yunzer shirt?
I do not, no.
Do you know what it is?
I've heard of it.
Kevin, you have got to tell your trainer you got to get you a Yunzer shirt. If you're going to be here in Pittsburgh, you've got to join the Yunzers, okay?
Let them
explain to you what that is, all right? All right, buddy.
All right.
Trust me, if you walk around with that thing, the fans will embrace you immensely.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'll let them know.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you taking some time to join us. That is today's most valuable hitter, Kevin Newman, brought to you by Monongahela Valley Hospital, putting your health first. Jack, what an incredible moment for a young guy like that to get the opportunity and then reward the team with it. And you just hear him there. He sounds confident for a guy that doesn't have a ton of major league experience yet.
And he's a humble guy. He comes across as a really nice guy, you just like to get to know him a little bit and just kind of hang around with him a little bit. Not that I would, being the age difference, but nevertheless, I'm saying, he just seems like a good person. And you hope for these guys. You think these kids grow up, want to be big leaguers their whole life. They get drafted high, they take a little time to get to the big leagues, and now here they are. But I am impressed with how much more confident he looks than what he looked last year in September. Just the whole game overall.
If you want to join the conversation, the number is 412-928-9370. Talk about today's great win. The Pirates now 4-3 on the season after a start that I know, Jack, I get caught up in it. You worry about, things looked bad early on. The bullpen's supposed to be a strength, falling apart. The defense, maybe a weakness, and it was showing itself. But now 4-3, I feel great all of a sudden. You're beating up on the Reds. You got another game tomorrow. I think you mentioned it. What are you going to do if you start 10-0? Think it's the World Series? Well, that is my mindset at times. So to get out to 4-3, but more so than that, I feel like as a team, build that confidence early is probably an important thing to do.
Well, here's what I got to do. I got to get you away from this worrying
I can't
factor.
Help it. It's
yeah,
what
no,
I do.
You can't worry. You can't. What's your wife? Was your wife worried?
About me?
I don't know.
I don't think about me.
If I was married to you, I'd be worrying about you for as much as you worry about this ball club. Let them play the game. We're going to sit and enjoy it.
That's my emotional tie to this team. I get caught up in every game, and it's fun. That's the thing to me. We've talked about the last few days, the excitement around seeing different aspects of this team play out. I was excited to see Joe Musgrove in his first start, excited to see Jason Martin get his first start, his major league debut today, which – would you, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
first at bat, he
sure.
gets that hit. What does that mean to a young guy taking that weight off his shoulders right out of the gates?
Well, if I'm Jason Martin, I'd be going back to the dugout saying, what took you so long to get me here? Come on, let's go. You saw what I could. Then I stole a base for you, too.
That's right.
Get me in this lineup.
I really liked what I saw from him on the base path today, too. Aggressive, making a difference. And then another guy like we talked about with Bob, Josh Bell.
Yeah.
Looking like, and this is something I want to talk to him about, how you judge a cleanup hitter, because he wasn't hitting for the power really before today, but he was still driving in the runs. Well, now he's doing it all in today's game, which is great to see.
Well, he's got long levers. He talks about that as well, you know, where, and Bob talked about putting the ball out. You pitch this guy away with those, you know, he's a big physical guy, and, you know, he's got power. We've all seen him hit balls for distance. But the biggest thing, and I say this, and it's how I view him. Now, someone else may disagree with me and see it differently. But, you know, to me, I'm not going to worry about Josh Bell hitting the ball out of the ballpark. What I want Josh Bell to do is barrel the ball up. And when he can barrel the ball up, his balls are going to jump. I mean, he hits when a ball comes off that bat, that is there's velocity there. They call it exit speed now, you know. But Bob touched on it. We've seen it. We watched him do it 2 years ago. Today he hit some balls on the nose, and this is what you got to let this guy do. Just barrel the ball up, you'll get the results, you know. So to me, that's the biggest thing I'd want to see him do, is try to keep that consistent and getting a barrel of bat to the ball, not worrying about lifting, not worrying about driving the ball out of the ballpark. That all that stuff will come for a young guy.
Well, we talked about the question marks heading into the year. What would Adam Frazier do as the leadoff guy? What would we see from Gong? What will Bell do? Well, so far, Frazier, I think you and I are both thrilled with what we've seen. Josh Bell, feel really good about it. Gong already has a home run under his belt. Josh Bell hitting his today, which our home run report brought to you by Flynn's Auto Service, your hometown tire and auto service experts. We're getting some questions answered early, and obviously it's a long season. A lot could change there. But I think one thing that you keep saying to me, you keep coming back to, it's better to do it than not to do it, right? It's early, but better to be succeeding than failing.
Right. I mean, at the end, when you look at, like we talk about momentum, you talk about getting on a roll, what that is confidence. You know, when you're playing really well, you gain confidence. When you do things like Newman did today, how much confidence is that? Just Martin comes in today. Stallings, you know, helps the club out. Reyes comes up and gets a big hit, makes a nice play in the outfield on a hard line drive. You know, you start looking about all these other guys that weren't supposed to be in the lineup today, and Newman gets the big hit. They all contributed. Now, what happens is, then you get the veteran guys that come in, like Cervelli, delivers for them in a pinch hit role late in the ball game, and Bell has a big day for them. Marte has a big hit. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's a unity thing. It's a team thing, and that's what they have to do, because I look at this club like this: they are a superstar away from being a really good ball club.
Yep.
They don't have that superstar, and I just, some clubs have them, some don't, but when you look at their lineup and you say, this is a solid club. I mean, it's a really solid club. There are no real weaknesses, if you will. They can do things. However, that aircraft carrier, which I talk about all the time, you know, that 40 home run guy, you know, that 320 hitter in a lineup all the time, that's the thing that they lack. If they had that to go along with the pitching, they would be a very dangerous ball club.
And right now, they're at least dangerous against the Reds. We've seen that much. We were frustrated by what happened in the Cardinals series. I can only imagine that's what the Reds are experiencing right now, losing leads late, giving up tie games late, losing in extra innings. But it's better to be on this side of things than it is for there, so I don't feel one bit bad for that.
That's right. That's why you play the game.
Well, it's a 6-5 victory in 10 for the Pirates. Coming up on the Pirates postgame, brought to you by Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman. We'll talk more about this game, break it down. We'll also bring Clint Hurdle's thoughts into it as he meets with the media following this, like we said, 6-5 victory down here from PNC Park on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Here's the pitch, and a swing and a busted back ground ball toward third. Moran will go on to second to get one. They'll go back to third, and Votto is safe. He stopped running for no reason. I mean, it's a force play there, and he started to get slowing down, and they almost were able to get him on a tag play at third after the force at second.
And that is today's Good Hands Defensive Play of the Day, brought to you by Roberto Clemente Jr. Family Insurance. Jack, you were the official score today. Writing that one down is not a typical number you see in the scorebook. I don't want to be too critical of Votto here, but not a heads up play, I guess, is the way to put it.
I think he thought he was going to get tagged as he was coming to third base, and I think that's why, because the ball was hit to the left of the third baseman. Mm-hmm. He feels it, so it goes 5-4, thinking you're going to go 3 for the double play. But then heads up play by Gonzalez to get to third base, and then they turn around at second base. Newman heads up play, throws to Gonzalez. So the play goes 5-4-6, getting Votto at third base for a double play.
And that's something that I want to talk about here for a minute, too. We've worried about the defense. Sorry, I'm going to stop saying worrying. You say I worry too much about it. We've talked a lot about the defense. I'm concerned about the defense.
Okay,
I like that
there
better.
There you go. I like it.
So concerned about the defense, and we did see an error today, Colin Moran. So that's something that Moran is your third baseman. You sometimes expect out of him. But there were other aspects of it. Eric Gonzalez, I went from being concerned about him early in this year because I saw a few things in spring training that worried me, concerned me. Like, I got to knock this off. Concern me, Jack. So I saw
all
those
right,
in spring
right.
training.
In there,
and then he gets up here, and you don't really see the flash that he was known for. Well, last night you see the flash, that great diving play in the
yep.
throw, and then you see the heads-up play there. So all of a sudden – I'm now feeling better about the defense, too, and it could just be a product of winning a few games in a row. I'm going to wildly swing like this all year, just so you know.
Well, I think what will happen is we will watch them play, and we will watch them perform, and that will dictate your mood.
Oh,
you know,
every
when
day.
I was, let me tell you, when I was in college, they used to have what they called the mood ring. You don't worry, I get to ask your mother and father about this. A lot of people my age will know what that is. So what it is, they had rings in style, right? So you wore this mood ring, and it would change color according to if you were happy, sad, whatever
man.
The case. I need to buy you somewhere along the way. I got to find you a mood ring.
Mine would run the whole color spectrum during these games.
There you go. All right.
Well, I want to hear from Clint Hurdle, too, get his post-game shot thoughts, because there's a lot to get to in this game. So let's hear from Clint now as he opened up responding to a question about Bell's deep home run that we saw today.
Well, you like the results. You like the hard contact. You like the run producer in the middle of the order. I think what I like most is just the way he's staying with things and committing to things and not getting too high, not getting low. He's becoming more of a professional with his at-bats. The one of the things that impressed me even last night, he doesn't get a runner in. And then the next guy doubles down the line, and he's running the bases like a madman. So it's not like he's boo-boo lipping because he didn't get a run in. He's playing the game. And today, I mean, you talk about putting a foot down and having a two-part swing and then hitting it 400, whatever you said, 31 feet. And there's real power, and we believe it's going to come out. And fun to watch him today, and big win for the Buccos today.
Is this an example, Clint, of what you talk about needing all 25 guys, get the last guy on the bench, get on, and get the address?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of played itself out today. And you look at some of the best at-bats we had today outside your three guys, you're looking at Bell, Newman, and Stallings. Stallings getting a couple base hits, the number of pitches he saw, what Newman was able to do at the plate and work. So we had a lot of different contributions from different places, and we found enough outs off the mound. A really, really good team victory.
But was there any thought to save Cervelli later in the game? And I guess the follow-up would be, how good does it feel when that aggressive decision pays off?
You know, I don't know what else you're going to save him for. You could ask a pitcher to bunt to move a guy up. It's the only other option you have.
Yeah.
Cervelli's got a chance of, you know, Bell didn't get on. So he needs to hit for me. He just needs to hit. The only other guy we have is a pitcher. That's just not in that point in time. The way we fought, we had the lead. They came back and tied us. He's actually done a pretty good job of this in the past, coming in late, won at bat. It worked out well for us. I just love seeing our guys just continue to play and continue to fight. For Newman to split the defense, I mean, you couldn't have put a ball in a better spot. He could not have hit it in a better spot without it leaving the ballpark. So, fun to watch him.
Glenn, how hard is it for a guy like Cervelli? Like you said, he's had some success as a pitcher. How hard is it for someone that doesn't pitch it a whole lot to be ready for that situation?
Well, I think our guys have learned over time that, you know, Cervelli knows when he doesn't start, he's going to be the last man in. He'll tell us he's ready in the fifth. When I'm ready for anything, and that's good. Just hang around and we'll see how it goes. But he's developed a routine that's also professional in nature. And they do all want to contribute, and they want to do something for one another. And I think that's the case. And you've seen Cabrera do some things. He was going to bunt. I almost passed out in the dugout last night when he went to bunt. I mean, because he just said, no, I was going to give it one shot, and I was going to go hit, but you're looking at a guy like that that's trying to find a way to help the club. And Cervelli, once the game starts, he's going to do whatever he can do to help us win a game, as many of the others are.
Glenn, over the last 10 innings, the bullpen's given up just 4 hits and 1 run. Is that something that you were envisioning coming out of Bradenton?
Well, based on what we saw last year, absolutely. And even when we go through the turbulence, that's the outlier for me. It's not when they pitch well. We've got some guys that I don't know. I haven't watched it. I saw one replay of the ball Votto hit out of the ballpark. And the one thing we're going to make sure we tell Keone, that's not a bad pitch. That's a great hitter doing something that only maybe 1 or 2 hitters in the game can do, and he hits the ball out of the ballpark. You tip your hat and you move on. I mean, you look where that pitch is located, look the swing that's put on, and he hits it to the deepest part of the ballpark. It's the big leagues, man. You're going to have some ups, and you're going to have some things thrown sideways at you, and you're going to have to figure things out and bounce back. So I believe in our bullpen. We have a lot of confidence in our bullpen. Those guys have a lot of confidence in one another. Birdie comes in today. He's had a couple outings that not the way he wanted to go. He's got a clean outing. Rodriguez bounces back. Liriano comes in and gives us a nice outing. So they're all connected.
When you put Liriano in the bullpen, is this the kind of situation you were envisioning where you have – the Reds with 2 big lefties there at the top of the order in the tie game, and then you get to put them out there. Obviously, the pincher for one. Then he gets Votto.
Yeah, that's one of the things, and he also can go through the lineup one time. Is one of the things we looked at last year when we were crunching his numbers and where he was having success and how he was having success. And he's seen Votto a lot. They've seen each other a lot. And you like to think also that Frank can be a stabilizing force down there with the other young guys that are down there because he's seen a lot. He's had different roles. So this was an opportunity today that I thought he fit in very nicely and obviously performed well.
I think the job that Trevor did bounce back to get through 6, he had action up in 4th just for him to settle down and maybe have his last 2 innings be his best.
As I told him when we came out of the game, I go, sometimes, you know what, it's hard to think through it, but this may have been one of your better efforts where it ended. Where it could have gone, where it was in the middle, and how you finished up with it. He rolled his sleeves up and he did some yard work out there today. Because the one stretch, I can't tell you the last time, probably it was the first half somewhere where 5 balls were hit hard in a row. All right, what are you gonna do? What's next? And he settled in. He kept making pitches. His execution of his pitches got better the last 2 innings, and he kept them off the board and kept us in the game.
Ever see a guy after his first major league hit steal 2nd?
You know, I played with Willie Wilson, and I believe he may have done it, but I don't know. But it was fun to watch. I mean, Jason, parents, fiance, agent, sister were all at batting practice yesterday. They're in town. That's always just timeless, priceless stuff. And his mom and dad have been following us around for a while. I mean, ever since he joined the club last spring. So they were there at spring training again. They're here. it's really cool, and the way the guys embraced him is obviously a lot of fun to watch as well.
Back here on Pirates postgame, Craig Riley alongside Jack Sorensic, as we just heard from the manager, Clint Hurdle, on today's game. Jack, I want to go through a couple things he talked about there. He said he had to go to Cervelli. So when we were sitting here watching the end of the game, I was thinking to myself, okay, let's say Bell gets on first. Do you bring in a pitcher to bunt him over? If he doesn't get on, do you let somebody else hit? Do you just have to go to Cervelli and say, we're going to try to end this game here, even though at that point in time, he was the last guy on the bench, and that's your only other catcher?
Yeah, and I know managers that won't put him in the game.
And that's what I was wondering.
And the reason is I don't agree with it, never did agree with it, but you're in an extra inning ball game. You've got to use your horses, but they're not going to risk the chance of their starting catcher that day getting hurt, and they have to go to somebody that's never caught or hasn't caught in 10 years and put him behind the plate. But obviously, Cervelli's a veteran guy. He's a pretty good hitter. So you put him up in a scenario late in the ball game, and guess what? He gets a rally going, and Newman follows it with a base hit. So I like it. I really like it. I thought it was a really good move.
Well, we'll call that today's break of the game, brought to you by Leon's Billiards and more in Wexford, or online at leonsbilliards.com. Because if it didn't work out there, I'm not sure what happens in the next inning. Does Cervelli catch? Do you take Stallings out? Because Pablo Reyes is in the game at that point, and as Clint Hurdle had told us earlier in the year, that's their emergency catcher. I know you're in extra innings, but I'm sure you don't really want to get – you never want to get to the emergency point. So luckily, it all played out for them.
Yeah, and, you know, he pinched him for Liriano, who's actually a pretty good hitting pitcher as pitchers go.
And we've seen it here.
Yeah.
He's hit home runs in this ballpark.
Yeah, because he was an outfielder originally when he signed. So, I mean, he's got a pedigree of being able to swing the bat. But, you know, he did the right thing. He put in his veteran guy, and he got a base hit. So there you go.
Two other things that Clint mentioned that I want to get to here that sort of tie together. He talked about everybody wanting to help out. And to me, this feels like a team, you see it in the clubhouse, it's sort of all pulling in the same direction right now. And there were people that questioned whether or not Hurdle could lead another Pirates team in that direction. That was the thought process behind maybe why his time ended in Colorado, that motivational tactic just it sort of ran its course. And there was thoughts here that it did. I sense, being in that clubhouse, that this is another sort of generation of players in the Pirates organization that he is rejuvenating and haven't heard that message. So I think it is possible that he gets that going again, the rah-rah, getting everybody to buy in. I think these guys are buying into what Clint Hurdle's selling right now.
Well, one thing about a lot of these jobs is they do have a shelf life. And, you know, they do end. That's just the way it is. And in Clint's case, I think the change of the personality to ball club probably worked in his favor. You know, I think what happens is when you get a lot of young guys up here and you start looking at the lineup today, these guys are anxious to be here. Then you get guys like Melky Cabrera and Shuck. You know, again, they're happy to be on a big league club because they're just going to – this is the end of, you know, getting close to the end of Cabrera, and Shuck is, you know, been a journeyman guy, so he gets a chance to play in the big league. So, you know, and I say this too. I'm not sure who your leaders are in that locker room, but your leaders will have an awful lot to do on setting the tone for how your club reacts to things. That's just how it is. But you got a young shortstop getting a chance to play. You got a young third baseman. You got Kung, who's coming back from nowhere land to be a player. You got Newman. You got Frazier. When you start thinking about it, it's not a veteran club. You know, mm-hmm. They don't have veterans out there. Cervelli certainly is. Marte is. You know, veterans in terms of guys that are here that are rooted. So that can work in your favor. And then the pitching staff is fairly young, and they're on a roll right now. So, you know, the way they're throwing and the way they're pitching, you know, it's like they're hungry because they haven't experienced that great success that you'd like to have your club's experience. And therefore, young guys are hungry. Veteran guys are happy to be here. And the other guys, if they're good people, they fit into a good role and they lead your club.
And you talked about those leaders setting the tone of how to bounce back from adversity. I feel like two guys we saw do that today. Trevor Williams didn't have the outing he had last time, like we talked about with Bob Walk earlier. Still a solid outing. 6 innings, 4 runs, just the 3 earned, though. And he sort of fights his way through it to giving his team a chance to win. And we saw it with Keone Kella as well. Goes an inning, gives up the home run, but then bounces right back and finishes the inning. That seems to be an important trait to have in your team, especially in a pitching staff.
Well, it does, you know, and I think Clint hit on it well. You know, a lot of guys that aren't named Joey Votto might not hit that pitch, but you happen to be Joey Votto, so one of the best hitters in our era. So, you know, you're going to make good pitches, and eventually somebody's going to hit them, and sometimes you're going to make bad pitches, and you're going to get away with it. So it plays itself out at the end of the day. You can look at Keona Kellen. What do you do right after the home run? Bounce back, struck out two guys.
Yep.
You know, so that's who he is. You know, he's a big strikeout guy. He's going to help this club an awful lot. And you just shake off that home run and go, okay, let's turn around and let's hope my team helps me. And they did.
Well, we mentioned Trevor Williams fighting through it today to give his team a chance to win this game, which they did 6-5 in extra innings in the 10th inning. The Pirates moving to 4-3 on the year. I want to hear from Trevor Williams next. That's all coming up and more. We'll take some of your calls at 412-928-9370 here on the Pirates postgame show, brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman.
Swinging a ground ball right to second. That will get a run home. Get on to first for the out. As Moran is in, Bell stays at second. RBI for Cabrera. It's 3-2.
And that was one of the six runs the Pirates drove in today on their way to a 6-5 victory over the Reds. Trevor Williams doesn't get the win, but he goes six innings, gives up seven hits, four runs, three earned, strikes out three, giving up the one home run. So a solid outing from him. We've been spoiled. I said it to Bob Walk that you just expect so much more because of what we've seen recently, and it's just not fair to these guys that that's what you expect at times because, frankly, when you get on a roll like that, you get used to it a little bit. But Trevor Williams still gives him a chance to be in this game, Jack, and obviously in the end, a chance to win it. You can't ask for more than that.
Well, are you worried about Trevor Williams?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm only concerned anymore. I don't get worried.
Okay.
But
well,
no, I'm not concerned about him.
You're going to step in the right direction. I like where you're headed.
I try. I try to adapt, evolve a little bit here. But we want to hear from Trevor Williams now. He opened up talking about just a sort of general recap of the game.
Yeah, you know, it was going to be a boxing match, really, the whole game. You know, we were trading blows, Roark and I, and it was, you know, the tough one for me was not capitalizing on shutdown innings when we needed to. Not let that third inning spiral out of control, and thankfully, you know, we stopped the bleeding a little bit. But overall, you know, I thought it was a really well fought game for on all sides, offensively, defensively, and the ability that Stones and I were to sync up with.
What did you guys kind of find there to settle in, especially the last two innings?
It was the third time through the lineup, and we were able to kind of sequence a little bit off what we did the first two ABs. It's tough going back-to-back starts against the same team. I know that they faced five different starters in between those, but it is tough kind of game planning because you don't want to go with the same game plan, but if the same game plan working, you kind of have to test the waters that way.
It can also be dangerous, too, when you're facing a team that's been going through a scoreless streak like that. You know they're going to get hot at some point.
Not necessarily dangerous. You just know they're ready to break out. They're still big league hitters. How you approach them, you're kind of still, you're still executing your game plan. You're waiting to see what they do.
Who were you watching with in the trainer's room when Kevin hit the ball in the gap?
Who was I watching with?
Yeah.
I was by myself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was by myself. It's weird because the tape delay is now in the room, so this TV had it right, and the other three had it like 8 seconds delayed, and then the radio was like 20 seconds delayed. So you hear like a strike call from Greg Brown, and then you see it happen, and I don't know, there's a lot going on, but I was really excited for him.
Yeah. It's kind of silly that, you know, you hadn't faced adversity in terms of your outings for a long time. You know, I don't know, maybe that one outing in September where you'd be behind almost.
I mean, it's the second start of the year. There were definitely guys on base last year in the second half. You had to work around certain things, but you know, it was a good battle today for a second start of the season.
Before we react to what we heard from Trevor Williams there, let's step aside for station identification. Jack, one thing that I found very interesting to hear from Trevor Williams there, he talked about how tough it is sometimes facing a team in back-to-back starts and how when you had success against them the first time, you have to go back to that well at first. Is that always what you do in that situation, or is it does the mileage vary per player, I guess?
Well, as players get to know you and are more comfortable with you, that's why, you know, we talk about veteran players. You know, they've been around the league and they've seen guys play. They've batted against guys, so they when they get up there, they have an idea about them. Now, if you like within a week, if you make your second start against a club, you know, they're going to game plan for you. They're going to have the reports on you. But now it's just, you know, it's just a few days back that they can look at it and say, this is how he tried to get me out. This is what he did to me. And as a result, you know, that can work in the offensive club's favor.
So Trevor Williams is the type of pitcher that has more of a wide array of pitches than some guys do. There are other guys that are just maybe like a one- or two-pitch guy, and they mix that third one in occasionally. Does it benefit Trevor Williams then that he has more to go to the well with then if what worked last time doesn't this time?
Well, I think there's guys that have more stuff than Trevor Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you can look at guys and say these are four-pitch pitchers, you know, and Trevor Williams has got a nice arsenal, but – you know, his thing is command. He's so good at command and setting up hitters and affecting hitters' timing. You know, I think that's what really works in his favor. And I got to believe that he hides the ball really well, and that's why guys don't see it so good. But in terms of your pitches, on given days, your sinker's working better than your cutter or something or your slider or your curveball. So you just have to figure out who you are on a given day and what they're trying to do to you, and you just got to compensate.
So you don't want me to say that I worry about things, just concerned. Well, I was a little worried because we talked in the pregame about that sort of hidden vigorish that are things going to come back to earth for the rotation? Well, we sort of saw things come back to reality for the Reds that those bats get going. So we'll see them again tomorrow. But interesting to see what that team was built on the Reds finally work out a little bit for them.
I mean, look at their Schwarber, their leadoff hitter, mm-hmm. is hitting 080.
Not great.
Suarez is hitting 217, Votto 230, Puig 143, Kemp 050, Peraza 192, Farmer 111. I mean, they are really, really struggling as an offense. Dietrich 214. I mean, these are very difficult numbers to win baseball games with, no matter how your pitching is.
Especially when you're built on the bats winning games for you. And that's one of the things that you mentioned it there, Puig only hitting 143. And we saw him get into it with the umpire a little bit after one of his at-bats. So is that the frustration maybe of the slow start altogether, maybe not just what happened in that at-bat probably coming up?
Well, that's what went through my mind. You know, when things are going bad, they go bad, you know, and you can't get a break, you know, and you're hoping. And if there's a borderline call, obviously, you know, we see Cervelli react to a lot of borderline calls, you know. You want it in your favor. And
he's a little animated, huh?
A little animated. just a little bit, you know. Yeah, but what happens is, you know, you're frustrated. Things aren't going good for you. And now you get a borderline pitch, and you're like, gee, you know. So he says something up. I didn't say, obviously, anything too out of line because he didn't get thrown out of the game. And then David Bell ran in there to protect him, and he walked away. You know, he didn't snap out or anything of that nature. But that's how it goes. You know, when you're going good, things go to your favor. When you're going bad, sometimes they go against you.
Well, you talk about that Reds lineup and what we see from them. Well, you look at the Pirates side of things. Starling Marte drove in two runs today. Bell drives in two. Melky Cabrera drives one in. And then Newman drives in another. And it's all sort of spaced out throughout that lineup. And that's what we heard Clint Hurdle talk about, the whole complete team effort to get a win. So it's nice to see that every little aspect of the lineup represented itself today when sometimes you worry about maybe the bottom of the order.
You're worrying again, aren't you?
Concerned.
That's concerned. Well,
I'm going to have to stop that.
In order for this club to win, Greg, they're going to have a team effort because they're not the kind of club, unless someone emerges, you know, Josh Bell, let's say, as we were talking about him, all of a sudden if Josh Bell emerges and he becomes a 30-home run guy for you, Polanco comes back and he's able to, you know, have the really good Polanco here, then things are going to be a little bit different. But as you stand right now, when you start looking at what this club has to do to win ball games, they've got to play defense because they're going to get good pitching, and they've got to be able to drive in runs. You know, we've seen them strand a lot of runners in these first few games, and that's the thing that you can't do. You know, and it's harder, quite frankly, and you wonder why we say this, because it's harder to get three hits an inning than it is to have a walk, a hit, and then someone hits a three-run homer. You get them in bunches when you hit home runs, and that's the reason why. Now, it doesn't mean you have to hit home runs, but boy, does it work in your favor when you do, because you make a lot of runs very quickly. And I think that's the thing that we're going to have to see how this develops with this ball club.
Something that I think is, I mean, beyond just the win on the field, sort of maybe a mental win from a fan perspective, is that we talked in the pregame show about the night game into a day game, Friday into a Saturday. You get today what we typically coin as that Sunday lineup, where you're giving guys some rest, you're throwing some other guys out there. Well, you got to win with your Sunday lineup. That, to me, almost feels like found money at that point, that you maybe don't always expect it when you
play with house money. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like you get a win that maybe you didn't expect. So it's nice to see it from that perspective as well, that when the backups, so to speak, are in the game, you didn't sacrifice enough that you were still able to come away with a win.
Well, there's going to be a point in time when they roll into Cincinnati and Matt Kemp's going to take advantage of that ballpark, and Joey Votto is going to take advantage of that ballpark, and so are these other guys, Puig, and eventually they're going to get their little second baseman back, you know, who obviously, and it'll be a different club. What you're seeing out of them right now, it's not real good. That doesn't mean that when the weather warms up or when the clock turns or whatever the situation might be, the calendar flips pages, you're going to roll in there and all of a sudden the Reds are going to be scoring runs. And you're going to say, boy, that didn't look like the club we saw in Pittsburgh earlier in the year, but that's just how the game is.
Well, Jack, as we wrap things up here on the Pirates postgame show, let's look ahead to tomorrow's matchup, Anthony DeSclafani against Chris Archer. Both guys who had 8 strikeouts in their first outing. Archer gives up 0 runs. DeSclafani going against the Brewers comes away with a 1.80 ERA. So we could see a bit of a pitcher's duel tomorrow, which we haven't really seen so much from the Reds. Well, we didn't see from the Reds today, nor the Pirates. They gave up their fair share of runs. But it'll be interesting to see the dynamic maybe shift as the Reds look like they figured something out at least at the plate today, and see how the Pirates counterpunch to that after beating up on them to start the season.
Well, you'll have it all to yourself tomorrow because I won't be here.
See, now that's something else I have to worry about.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how I'm going to make it through.
We're
going to
get a psychologist coming here and have a little sit down with you, you know?
162 games looks like a lot all of a sudden with all this worrying, but you know what? I enjoy it because with the worry, when they succeed, comes that excitement and the thrill of another win. The Pirates now 4-3 on the season, and you feel better about it. Second in the division. You look at things like that, you feel good about it early on. Like you always say to me, better to do it than not, right?
I say, better to win than to lose.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
That's what they did today. So we wrap things up. For Jack Zarensic, myself, Craig Riley, thank you for tuning in to Pirates Postgame, brought to you by Shendarovich, and Fishman, and 11:35 airtime tomorrow for that Chris Archer, Anthony DeSclafani matchup. We'll take you right into the Neil Huntington Show tomorrow on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.